And we want the Lord to draw men unto Himself. And I am convinced of this, church. I am totally convinced of this. If we will lift up Jesus Christ and make much of Him, He will draw men, women, boys and girls unto Himself. We don't have to have a gimmick, amen? We let the Lord do the drawing. Let Him do the saving. But we'll do our part in preaching Christ. That was first message. Now to number two. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is where we'll be. But again, just thankful for this Missions Booster Sunday. As I was praying back in October about our calendar, the Lord quickly impressed upon my heart that we needed to have a midway point of between our our missions conference of 2016 and our missions conference of 2017 coming up in October, and just a midway point, just to be refreshed and to go along with our theme, to be renewed in our passion for souls, our desire to do more than we've ever done before, and to renew our faith promise commitments. That is something that we are wanting to do this morning. That will go along with my message. But that's what we want to do. We want to make much of missions. I'm thankful to have the Dietrichs here to be able to just share their burden and what God is doing. And man, what 28, can you imagine? Did I hear that right, Brother Michael? Is there 28,000 Bibles given? Did I hear that right? 28,000 Bibles given into the high schools of the Solomon Islands. And boy, for somebody to be able to go and follow up on the fruit that will come from that Bible distribution, and how wonderful that will be. I hope you'll be praying for the Solomon Islands. I hope you'll be praying about what the Lord would have you to do and have us to do as a church, and making sure those people get a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just before we get into the message here, just wanted to give a quick update again on our foyer. It's coming along well. You'll be praying about that. Feel free after the service, those of you that are curious, and maybe you already have, feel free to walk around to the front of the building, and we'll make sure those doors get opened up so that you can take a peek in. We just ask you not to walk through right now because of liability issues, and the contractors asked us that. But please, by all means, take a peek, and it's coming along great. It's going to be wonderful, and Lord willing, like I said, this Sunday we're going to have it opened up a week from today. And then by Easter, Lord willing, we'll have all the decor up and the furniture we want in there and things of that nature. So it'll be a very exciting day for us. Well, today being Missions Booster Sunday, I believe the Lord would have us be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we see the context of Paul referring to what also is known as the Corinthian collection. You say, well, why is it called the Corinthian collection? Well, that's because there was a promise given from the Corinthians about an offering that was to be taken up for the poor saints of Jerusalem. There was needy saints there that just had great needs because of the persecution of this time, and even, get this, persecution that even came from the very man that's writing this letter. Before Paul came to Christ, he was persecuting Christians. There are widows there in Jerusalem at this time because of the wrath of Saul, who is now Paul, but he murdered Christians. He imprisoned Christians. And there are people there at effects, and Paul's got a burden now. Paul's got a hold of the grace of God, and it saved him, and now he wants to get back and be a blessing to them. He's wanting to help them and encourage them in their faith. And so he's talking about this offering that he's going to take back to them. And to these Corinthians, he's talking to about the one they promised, about giving to help these ones in need. And by the way, that is what missions giving really is. It is giving so that those in need with a spiritual need can be helped, can be reached, if you will, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we send out missionaries like we saw here, Brother Dietrich, and other missionaries that we support. They go because we give.
They go because we give and support them, and they don't have to be a burden on anybody out there. They go and make their main mission preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's start reading there in chapter 8, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says here, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God," which that's an old English way of saying we wish for you to know. We want you to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So you understand, church, in our very first verse here, he is using a testimony of a local church that is really giving, that is really seeking to be a blessing. And he's going to use it to provoke these Corinthian Christians to get involved and to be a part of that and to follow through with their commitment. Listen to this testimony of these churches in Macedonia, which, by the way, these churches are Thessalonica, Berea, and the church of Philippi. Those are those known churches in that region, and Paul's given testimony of them. And he says here, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy," and get this, "and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And verse 6, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this same grace also." Now notice the same grace also is going to be repeated in verse 7. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us," get this, "see that ye abound in this grace also." I want to preach a message to you, empowered by grace. Empowered by grace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do come before you thanking you for sending a missionary my way. Lord, when I was lost and on my way to hell for all eternity, Lord, you sent a missionary my way. Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know, Lord, what you gave me. And Lord, by your grace, Lord, please, I beg you, please let me do the same for someone else. Please use our church, oh God, to be missionaries in our own community. Help, Lord, would you call forth missionaries out of this church to go forth and tell people about Christ. Oh God, I do pray this, that you would add your blessings to the message this morning. Encourage hearts, Lord. Strengthen us in our faith, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you'll remember the context of this book as well. A man had just been put in charge of the Roman Empire, and he was not Mr. Nice Guy, I assure you. It was a 16-year-old young man by the name of Nero. And he was a vicious ruler. He was a cruel ruler. And I want to tell you, he was not a friend to Christianity. In fact, he was an enemy to it. He despised the Christians, and he did everything in his power to wreak havoc in their lives. And so with a ruler like that, Paul is writing to some believers that are in that environment. That is the context of these believers, if you can imagine that, as we understand the power of God's grace. Because it is natural for us not to be open with our faith. It's supernatural to be open. It's supernatural to be led by God's Spirit. And we're going to see a supernatural work of God's power called grace in their lives. You know, in this life, you know, there are things that we can earn. There are things we cannot earn. We can earn wages. I think all of us in this room either earn wages somehow or have earned wages or are seeking to earn wages, to make a living, to put food on the table. Yes, we can earn, and we should earn. Sometimes I'm afraid we're in an entitlement society where some are thinking that everything should be handed to them without any effort being going forward. But I want to tell you, there are things to be earned. And we earned respect. You know, respect is earned. It's not just freely given. I mean, to make a name for yourself of an upright testimony, it has to be earned and built. And it should be that way. Your credibility. Your dependability, that sort of thing is earned as you work and are honest and faithful. Those things are earned and should be, and we should look to do those things. But I want to tell you, there's something that cannot be earned. There are some things that cannot be. And one of those I'm talking about this morning, it's called grace. You cannot earn grace. It is given freely. 100% by God Almighty. You can't put a dime to it. You can't be good enough for it. You cannot earn God's grace, friend. He gives it to you freely. He gives it to you freely, number one, through salvation. There's not a penny you can pay for salvation. It comes freely. It is the free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That grace of God, but not only are we saved by grace, but we serve by grace. The Apostle Paul that we're talking about this morning, he said, "It is by the grace of God I am what I am." He admitted that he, and even in his life and how he functions as a Christian, it's by the grace of God. He's writing this letter to encourage the Corinthian church that they can follow through with their commitment of giving to the saints in Jerusalem by grace. By grace is what we're talking about. And folks, we've made commitments here back in October. We made commitments about what the Lord would have us do and reaching more than we ever have before. Being able to send people like the Dietrichs and being able to continue to support these wonderful missionary families that represent these countries that are there by grace, and we're supporting them by grace. That's something we want to continue to do. And we want to see here the Macedonia method of giving. You know, can I say it like this? Even when we look at this passage, some people that don't realize this, and some people would say, "Man, you don't want to say that. You're going to discourage." Listen, if the Bible says it, we need to say it. But you know, this type of giving that we're talking about, it's not commanded. It's not commanded. This type of giving, now the tithe is commanded. 10% of everything we bring in, God expects us to give that back to the local church, and that's just the giving. Somebody asked me what tax season, I remember somebody said something about one time, "Well, brother, do we tax on our taxes? Do we tithe on that? And if we do, how much do we tithe? Do we tithe on our net income or our total income?" And I guess it's a good question, but I answered with a question. Well, do you want net blessings or you want total blessings? I mean, I guess you could look at it different ways or whatnot. But you want God's blessings we give by faith. But that's the tithe. But this right here, my friend, is not commanded. That's why it's called grace giving. It's a free will offering that we make a choice in our hearts, each individual family, each individual person here, through a prayerful spirit and asking God, Lord, what would you have us do to, by grace, by your enablement, that we can give that's undeserved. Now listen, let's think about this. We haven't deserved God's grace. So let's put the correlation. These people represented in these countries, do they deserve our giving? No. They haven't earned it, and they don't have to. It's by grace. We want to give it as a free will. We don't want them to try to earn our grace. We want to give it, and that's exactly what these folks were doing, these Macedonia Christians. They were seeing here that the grace of God was real. That this word grace is the Greek word charis. It's used nearly 130 times in the New Testament. And we see it used over and over again, and it carries many times the idea as just a gift. Grace is a gift. It is gift giving, and that is exactly how we support our missionaries. It is grace giving. But we see here that the grace is evident, is real in this scenario and people giving. But let's look at number two. Let's look at the evidence of grace. We see, saw number one, the explanation of grace. It's free and undeserved favor from God. You can't pay for it, okay? We save by grace, and we serve by grace. But then number two, I want us to see the evidence of grace. What does grace do? We see that we hear about it, okay, you can't earn it. It's free and undeserved favor from God. So what can it do for an individual? Well, I can say I'm looking at a group of people across this sanctuary this morning are the evidence of God's grace. Everybody in this room's got a story about God's grace, about what it's done for you and your families, and by the way, what it will continue to do. We see evidence in the lives of these believers. Look, first of all, we see that there are two evidences that we see. We see that, number one, the evidence is shown by the way they gave of themselves. Look there in verse number 5. It says, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Do you see the theme of that verse? They were giving of themselves. That is the first sign that is evident, I believe, in a person that is living by the grace of God, is that they give of themselves. It is obvious that these Christians, these Macedonia Christians, were giving of themselves unto the Lord first of all, and then unto Paul, and to helping him in his missionary service and his missionary work. They were enabling him and empowering him in the sense of supporting him so that he could do God's work. You know, these folks had come to the place where they realized they were not their own. I wonder this morning, have you come to that place where you are no longer your own if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? The Bible says you are bought with a price. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the same letter, back in chapter 5, you know what Paul told those Corinthians? He says, "And that He died for all," that's Jesus Christ, "that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." But who are they to live unto? The Word of God says, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. That right there is the theme and the goal of the Christian life. And that is a true sign of grace. Can I ask you something this morning, dear friend? Is grace evident in your life? Are you seeking to put others before yourself? And should I say, first of all, are you putting God before yourself? Is He number one in your life? Because if that is true, that is an evidence of grace in your life. That you are not only the recipient of grace, but you are letting it to just flow through you in evidence. We see here that that was the first evidence they gave of themselves. But then, secondly, look what else. They put others before themselves. We see again in verse number 4, "praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." They were begging Paul, saying, "Please take this offering. We want to give it to you. We really, truly want the people to have this." And you know, that sounds good and it sounds strong. But I want to tell you what makes it even more powerful is understanding the context of these believers. You know what the Word of God says? Look, what does it say this crowd was experiencing under the rulership of Nero and persecution? What does it say in verse 2? It says, "In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy," and what else? "Their deep poverty." You understand that, church? This crowd right here that's getting exciting about this offering, they're going through a deep trial of affliction, persecution, and not only that, but they're in deep poverty. How can somebody, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, how can somebody, Brother Ricky, have the joy of the Lord upon their life when they are dirt poor and when they are going through the most fiery time of their life? It's called the grace of God. You've gone through things in your life. You're going through things in your life. And if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God, you'd be just gone. You'd be swept away with your troubles. But God's enabling grace, that we have not earned, by the way, upholds us and keeps us and allows us to do His work. We see the evidence of grace. They did this. They first, look at verse 5 again. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord. You know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says this: let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, get this, church, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that's what this church was doing. This church in Macedonia, these churches were saying, look, I know we got some needs, and I'm sure this crowd didn't go hungry because God made provisions for them. But what they said, listen, let's get together, churches. We got some people in Jerusalem that are in great need. Let's pull our resources together. I know times are hard. I know Nero is making life miserable for us. And it's even difficult to even get bread. And it's difficult to function in our society with a job. But listen, let's pull together and let's trust God to make the provisions so that we can be a blessing to those saints in Jerusalem. And that was the evidence of grace in their lives. I love that little children's song. I'm not going to sing it to you because I want to spare your ears. But the song Joy, Jesus, Others, and You, what a wonderful way to spell joy. And that's the truth. That's where true joy comes from, is when Jesus is first, then others, then ourselves last. That's the opposite in the world's thinking. Well, wait a minute, I'll get my needs first, and then next down, next crowd, whoever that may be, spouse, children, friend, neighbor, whatever, they're second, and then we might get to a round of the religious things. I want to tell you, a person like that will have zero joy. But I'm going to tell you, you get that in its right order, and you'll have joy. Even in a great afflictions, as these people were, and even in deep poverty, you might not even be able to go to Wendy's and get the 4 for $4 deal. But you'll have joy, amen? I want to tell you what, that's something that you can rejoice in, even in the hardest times that God desires to give to us. So we see the explanation of God's grace. We see the evidence of grace in their lives. But then lastly, and I want to close with this point this morning, I want to see the results of grace. What was the result of grace and their lives? Well, I don't want to be redundant, but I'm going to review this point. The first evidence we see is lifted burdens. Lifted burdens. Just like I was just saying, there was a great affliction, but yet the Word of God says they had joy. They were happy. They were looking forward to this offering. They were excited about it. And that's a result of God's grace in your life. It's supernatural. You can't explain it. People have asked me things. I remember going through the loss of my father, who was killed in a car accident in 2009, and it was a very, very difficult trial for me. And as I went through that, I could not explain it in the right terms, other than when people would ask me, Brinson, how are you doing as well as you are? You know, because I did have a part in the funeral and was able to say some things, and just through that time. A couple reasons. The main reason I was able to do that simply is what we're talking about here. It was the grace of God. I can't explain it. It's outside of human terminology, really. And I just can't explain it out of the grace of God. And God will do that for you too, friend. And you've experienced it. I'm sure you have. And if you're not, if you haven't, you can. Because it's simply receiving God's grace by faith. Hey, can I say this? you receive grace, okay, to be saved. You receive grace by faith to be sanctified. Let me say that again. You receive grace by faith to be saved. You receive grace by faith to be sanctified, to be strengthened, to be built in your faith. It's a constant belief that God is working in you, both the will and the good of His good pleasure. That's what the Lord wants us to realize. We see that there's lifted burdens, but then, secondly, as we've mentioned, there was liberal giving. This grace was caused them to be desirous to give of themselves. Hey, listen, can I say this, church? Grace and this evidence that we're referring to, grace cannot be paid for. But get this, it can be proven. Grace cannot be paid for, but it can be proven. And how do you prove it? Through your own life. Through your own actions. Through your own giving of yourself. Through letting the grace of God live through you. The grace cannot be paid for, but it can be. Can I say it like this? God's grace cannot be paid for, but it can be paid forward. You think about that. I can't pay for it, but I can pay it forward. In other words, by God letting me be a recipient, I can show forth His grace unto others. Now, I can't force them to receive the grace, but I can give unto them what the Lord, how the Lord has blessed me. And going it forward. Can I say it like this? I like the way one author said it. He says, grace is kind of play on words. Grace is not bestowed, one word, to be stowed. Alright? Grace has not been bestowed upon us to be stowed within ourselves and kept to ourselves. The grace of God is to be liberally bestowed upon others through our own life, through our own giving. Why can Brother Dietrich and his dear wife Nora go to the Solomon Islands? Because they have received the grace of God and the call of God, and they want to go share that grace with others. Why have we gotten so serious about the Great Commission in our own community? Because we've received the grace of God. We've been recipients of God's marvelous grace. And what else can we do but get out there and tell the world? Oh, praise God. Tell the world about this. Tell them that Jesus saves. Tell them that Jesus will make them whole. Oh, praise the Lord for God's marvelous grace. It's not to be stowed up in ourselves. It is to be distributed. It is to be liberally given out. We see there that they simply, they truly lifted, they were lifted burdens. There was liberal. Go over to chapter 9, verse 13. This same offering that they're talking about, this same Corinthian collection that they're talking about, it says in verse 13, while it's by the experiment of this ministration, okay, this offering that they're talking about, this ministry, they glorify God. They, the recipients, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. For what? And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. You see what this did here? Do you see what this liberal giving did? They professed and it encouraged others. And by the way, just in case you're wondering and just in case you are not sure, grace is without discrimination. I want to tell you what, grace is open to all. These people on these flags, I don't know what colors they are. I don't know what their backgrounds are. I don't know exactly all their cultures are. I might have some idea on some of them. But you know what? In all reality, it really doesn't matter. Because grace sees no color. Grace is to be distributed unto all. And it is for all, and Jesus Christ died for all, and we see here that they had that burden. Not only did they know that these people in Jerusalem, they knew that they had a need, but even these saints knew that the Macedonians said that they give unto all. All knew of this grace that was on the Macedonians. What a testimony to have. But not only that, We see their lifted burdens. We see their liberal giving. I want us to see, thirdly, their lauded benefactor. Look at this lauded benefactor, and that benefactor is none other than the Lord God Himself. Look at verse 11 of chapter 9. Verse 11 of chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, listen to the terminology here, church, which causeth us thanksgiving to God. All right, there's one, thanksgiving to God. Let's go down to verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but get this, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. There's two. Now let's go down to 13. Whilst by this experiment for this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection. Do you see the theme there in those verses? We see the benefactor when is the one who is giving, and that is God Himself. He is being glorified. And dear friend, if that is not the ultimate goal of what we're doing here at the Creek, I want to go home. I want the Lord God to be glorified. I don't want this church to be glorified. I don't want to be glorified. I want God to be glorified. And that's the ultimate goal of our church. We want the gospel to go to the Solomon Islands and to Brazil and Canada. We want to go to the Burkina Faso and Morocco. We want it to go all over the world that the Lord God of the Bible might be glorified. That's what we want. We're not here to build an empire, I'll tell you that right now. We're here to build people and to encourage them to get involved that others around the world might hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. How did this work to the praise of God? Let me give you three things here quickly. First of all, it confirms their confession in the gospel. It says here, there, right there in our passage, it says in the gospel, verse number 13, it says, for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. It was evident because of their confession in the gospel. Secondly, it glorified the Lord God because it confirmed their care for all. They cared for all. Hey, listen, dear friend. It's something I pray this for my children. And I tell them, and I'm just going to encourage them. I don't know. I don't want it to be artificial. I want it to be real. And I want to say this to teenagers, to you, especially young people, but all of us. Let there be an overwhelming character in your life that just has a care for all. Just be a caring person. There are so many people, hurting people in our world today that just need somebody to care about them and to love them. And these dear saints, these dear poor, dirt poor saints in Macedonia probably had no idea the names of the people. They didn't know who these people were specifically in Jerusalem. They just said, man, these are some people that have a need, and let's help. Let's help. I tell Marianne and Thomas Brent, I'm praying for you children that God would make you young kids of compassion and that you would care about the unloved and you would care about the unlovable. Those that are looked down upon, I'm praying that you will go out of your way to show those type of people love and care. Because that's the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated. He went after those that nobody else wanted. And I'm praying that God would help our church to grow in this. And I want to grow in this personally to be more caring and compassionate. But that will only come by God's grace. God's grace will be evident and it will be a result of us yielding ourselves to Him and allowing Him to work in and through us. But then thirdly, we see God is glorified because of this. It causes others to want the same. Isn't that something, church? Look at there in verse number 14. But it glorified God because they wanted in on the action. They wanted in on this grace. Look at verse 14. And by their prayer for you, now get this, which long after you for what, church? The exceeding grace of God in you. Do Dear church, when we get filled with God's grace by faith, and it is changing us, it will, I promise you, according to the authority of this blessed book, it will provoke others to want it too. It says, they longed after you. They longed after. They wanted that grace that they saw in you. And my friend, my question to you this morning, is anybody seeing the grace of God in your life? Are you willing to give of yourself? And you willing to put the Lord God first in your life? Because that's where the grace comes. When He's first, and then others, and then yourself, God's marvelous grace will just control your life. It will dominate your life. And for God's glory, it will happen. And I want to tell you, our missions program, the reason we can give is because of God's marvelous grace. And I only expect our missions giving to grow. Not because of our own power, but because of God's power. Enabling us by His marvelous grace. Oh, praise the Lord. What an opportunity for us this Missions Booster Sunday to realize that we too can make a difference by God's amazing grace, just like these saints did in Macedonia and the difference that they made in the saints of Jerusalem. You know, maybe the challenge is to us too, as it was to the Corinthians. Paul said, look, get this. I do not tell you this, church, by commandment. It's not a commandment. But it is upon you to give a free will offering that is a picture of grace. Giving undeservedly. Giving of yourself, of your finances, of your time, so that others can be helped. And by the way, there is no greater way in this world to help someone other than helping them hear about the gospel. There's no greater way. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the Word of God. Thank You for Your marvelous grace. We do appreciate it, God. We do appreciate Your grace. I'm sorry, Father, for many times where I take advantage of it and just stow it instead of bestowing it upon others as You have done to me. Lord, I don't know what You're doing this morning in hearts, but I do pray that You would continue working in this invitation time. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if I'm talking to someone and You say, Pastor Brinson, I've heard this message, and if I was honest before the Lord God this morning, I've never experienced this grace for salvation. I always thought I had to earn it, or I always thought it was in some special formula, and I never realized it was just simply a free gift that I had to receive by faith and trust the Lord God to provide that for you. You say, I've never done that. And this morning, I'm really not sure if I've ever received this grace, the grace of salvation that's by faith. And you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Would you show me by lifting up your hand? You're saying, Pastor, I just want you to pray for me. I'm not sure if I've ever received this grace by faith. Raise your hand high so that I can see it. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? You say, I've been trying to pay for God's grace all my life. I feel like I got to work. I got to feel like I got to do this and that, and I'm always in fear and bondage. I want to tell you, friend, you need to get rid of that. Anybody else? Lift it up high so I can see it. I am tired of trying to pay for God's grace, and I just want to receive it by faith for salvation. If that is you this morning, would you lift your hand high so that I can see it, and I want to pray for you. Anybody else before I move along? All right. Secondly, perhaps I'm speaking to some of God's children this morning, and quite frankly, you have not been experiencing the grace of God in your life. There's no evidence of you showing forth God's grace. Well, most likely, I don't know this for sure, friend, but most likely, if you're like me, when that happens, what has happened is your priorities have gotten mixed up. And the Lord Jesus has been dethroned in your heart, and He's no longer number one. Well, my friend, it will begin by you making a decision to get Him back on the throne of your heart and making Him number one in your life, no excuses. And secondly, what about others? If you're like me, many times you have a habit of making yourself before others. But dear friend, that is not an evidence of grace in your life. Let's put others before ourselves. And that just so happens to allow us also to give in missions like many churches do not. Because we give by grace. We put the Lord first. We put others first. And by that, we get to reach millions with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not let that stop, dear friend. Let's let it keep going. I'm going to here in just a moment open it up for the invitation. If God's speaking to your heart, perhaps about surrendering to go to the mission field, perhaps it's about surrendering your life to do whatever. You've never done that. Whatever the case may be, if you've raised your hand about doubting your salvation, wondering if you've ever really received this gift, I encourage you to come forward and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and receive this grace.